Hello, friends, and welcome to the Everyday Truth Podcast with Kurt Skelly. Our purpose is to show that the Bible is relevant to your life every day. And we're glad you joined us here for the conversation as we explore the Old Testament book of Malachi and learn about the dangers of questioning God. Let's hear what Kurt has to say.
And welcome back, my friends, to a brand new day and a brand new book of the Bible. So I've really enjoyed spending time in the New Testament for the last few weeks. But I'm here with John Edmonds, my dear friend. You've met him before here on the podcast, president of Veritas Baptist College. And John, we're jumping into the book of Malachi.
I'm excited about it, Pastor. Thanks again for asking me to be with you.
We struggled a bit with, how would we choose a theme or a title for this series? And we've come up with this, questioning God, because the book of Malachi really covers a number of questions that the people of God had for God, but they weren't questions to seek information from God. They were questions of incredulity. Like, God, I don't see it this way.
Yes, Malachi was showing them how they were not walking in God's covenant, and they were not obeying God at all, but they thought they were. They thought they were serving God. And so there's this back and forth that is great to see in Malachi.
Yeah, I get the sense of almost a rebellious teenager saying, what? You know, what? I don't see what? And God's answering the what.
That's exactly right, Pastor.
So Malachi was the last writing prophet of the Old Testament. He wrote 400 plus years before the time of Jesus, before a section that we call the intertestamental period between the Old and New Testament. So talk to me, John, a little bit about Malachi. When did he write? Why did he write?
Pastor Malachi, I love his name. His name means my messenger. And here God is giving a message to his people. They've come back now, as we probably all know, they've come back now from the Babylonian captivity. They've been in the land for a while. God has sent some prophets their way already to get them started to follow God and serve God. They came back with high hopes, but they didn't really follow through. They started looking at things in their own life and taking care of themselves. The temple was not built like it should have been. The wall around Jerusalem was not completed as much as it should have been, as quickly as it should have been. And God uses Malachi to show the people, you're just in an atmosphere that lacks intentionality in serving me.
Right. They were doing enough where they could say, hey, this is good enough. This is good enough. I view them almost like the New Testament counterpart, the Laodiceans.
Yes.
They're just kind of in the middle. They're doing, but they're not doing. They're serving, but they're not serving.
Yes, Pastor Zechariah, God had used Zechariah a little before Malachi's time and had used Zechariah to really, get the people moving and going, but the people still were not where they need to be. And so when Malachi comes, somewhere around, 440 BC, people, quibble a little bit over the exact time. But as you mentioned, 400 years before Christ came, basically, God uses Malachi. And I'm sure Malachi was familiar with Zechariah.
No doubt.
But now the people still are not serving God right. And God uses Malachi to say, wake up, people. Realize where you're at right now.
So as you're looking at your Old Testament, my friends, a lot of times you'll hear the Babylonian captivity, you'll hear that term used, and that was that 70-year period of time when God judged the southern kingdom of Judah. Remember, the northern kingdom had been judged years before when the Assyrians had come in the 720s BC, but then in 606, Nebuchadnezzar came and took Daniel and Hanani, Mishael, Azariah. In 597, the Babylonian army came back and this time deported even more people, including Ezekiel. And then in 586, Jerusalem was entirely destroyed. And Jeremiah lamented the destruction of Jerusalem. So, but God had promised his people, he had made a promise to them that I'm going to use you, I love you, I'm committed to you. Matter of fact, we're going to see that covenant right at the beginning of Malachi. And so God allowed the people to go back. So in 536, God, through Cyrus, the Persian king, issued a decree for the people to go back. And Zerubbabel and Joshua and the people went back. And the purpose was, as you stated a moment ago, John, to rebuild the temple. But that didn't work out too well, did it?
They were slow to do what God wanted them to get done.
And so God had to raise up, and you mentioned one of them, God had to raise up two prophets, one by the name of Haggai, an older man, one by the name of Zechariah, a younger man. And these two prophets really preached to the people, get back to work, get back to priority, get back to rebuilding the temple. And to their credit, they did. So they got back, and for those 4 years from 520 BC till 516 BC, they rebuilt that temple. It wasn't the same size as the Solomonic temple, but Haggai said, hey, it's going to be a greater temple because Messiah will one day walk in this very temple. And indeed, Jesus did. 400 or 500 years later, he walked in that temple. But now, between the time of Haggai and Zechariah, so 520, 516 BC, some time has elapsed. And God has raised up a last prophet in the Old Testament whose name is Malachi. And you pointed out, I think, a moment ago that Malachi came, oh, let's say for round numbers, 80 years later. And he came during the time that Nehemiah had just rebuilt the wall. He and Ezra had been preaching to the people. Nehemiah was actually the governor. And so Nehemiah and Malachi knew each other.
Yes. Yeah, and Nehemiah was a great man of God, and God used Ezra and Nehemiah to really, you know, get the people motivated and get back to following God. And we see in Ezra's book that Nehemiah dealt with some great problems that were going on. And some of the problems that we find, you know, described in Ezra, we will find come out in Malachi, as Malachi deals with some of the same issues.
Yeah, that's a great point. Matter of fact, it's one of the reasons why we know they were contemporaries, because they're pointing out the same sins. They're pointing out the sin of the priesthood, the intermarriage problem they were having, the problem with giving, tithing. These were issues that Nehemiah dealt with, and they're issues that Malachi is dealing with. And certain generations, it seems, have certain besetting sins. And those were the besetting sins of that generation. So here we are in Malachi chapter 1, my friends. Malachi is a short little book, the last book of your Old Testament, 4 chapters long. And the Bible, the book of Malachi begins with these words, "The burden of the word of the Lord to Israel by Malachi." So, John, you already mentioned that the name Malachi means my messenger. So what does that mean then, the burden of the Lord?
You know, I see this, Pastor. It starts off right away. The idea of a burden is a weighty message here that God, and we realize that Lord there is the, you know, in our translation is all capital letters, is the name Jehovah or Yahweh. People debate how actually the name of God was pronounced, but this is God's covenant-keeping name. God says, hey, here is a message. Here is a message from the Lord himself. It's through his messenger, and it's about Israel. Israel, the people of God. And we're going to find out they're not living for God. But even with this first verse, it does have, you know, you better get ready. There's some things going to be said that you need to pay attention to, and you need to change your life with what I say.
Yeah, and I love that point, because many times the word of God in our life, it's not something that we necessarily want to hear. And it's not something necessarily that the person giving it wants to say. It's a burden. And every mom and dad understands that. You know, sometimes you need to have that conversation with your teenager. Sometimes a pastor needs to have that conversation with his church. And it's a burden. Yeah. It's not something I want to say. It's not something that is delightful to say, but it's something that needs to be said. But I like what you said, and that is the fact that true love is going to say the hard thing.
You know, I think of Ephesians 4:15, speaking the truth in love. You know, it always bothers me when I see people who seem to be happy about condemning people who are doing wrong. But whenever we have fellow believers who are doing wrong, we ought to approach them with love and a heart of love and say, hey, you know, I want to help you out. And that's what Malachi's heart is, to help the people of Israel out, to realize where they're at so they will get right with God.
No, that's a really good point. Truth is love's best gift. And love is truth's best wrapping. So we will find in the book of Malachi that God loves his people enough to confront them about the fact that while God is keeping his word, they're not keeping their word. God's keeping his end of the bargain, and he loves them, but they're not keeping their end of the bargain, and they're not seeing it. And I think that might be the most insidious problem of all, is the fact that they're assuming, hey, we're fine. What are you talking about? You know, we're doing great. And God is having to systematically demonstrate to them, no, you are in violation of my covenant.
It's so easy, Pastor, with the culture that we are in. Throughout history, whatever culture people were in, it was so easy for culture to blind their eyes to things. I look back now at David and say, David, how could you have been a polygamous man? But by his culture, he didn't see that. I wonder if David were alive today, or if Malachi were alive today, if they looked at my life and they would say, John, I can't believe you're doing that. You know, what am I blinded to about my culture? So as I go through the book of Malachi, my prayer is that God will speak to my heart and show me things that, as you mentioned, that I'm not really even alert to, but I ought to be alert to.
And that was a great thought, that the culture in which we live, it is in itself a cloud. So we even in America, we'll look back at blights in our short history. For instance, we'll look at the era of slavery, and we'll say things like, how could any Christian not see that? How could anybody put up with that? But you know, there's coming a generation, if the Lord would tarry his coming, that will look back at our generation and we'll look at, how did you put up with? I look at the issue of abortion today and the millions of innocent lives that are being taken. And truth be told, you know, I think there's coming a generation that will look back and say, how did you put up with that? How was that even, you know what I'm saying?
Yes.
So I think generations judge other generations. And what we really need to be doing is asking God to open our eyes in our generation. To say, what are our issues?
And you're right, Pastor. And God wants to do that. He wants to show us where we need to get our heart right to be right with him.
No, that's a great point. So the verse again says, the burden of the word of the Lord to Israel by Malachi. So I guess it's important for us just at the outset of the study to say, what we're going to be studying here is the word of the Lord. This is not the opinion of Malachi. This is not the conjecture of the leadership in Jerusalem. No, this is the word of the Lord. And at the end of the day, that's what we need.
You're right. And this has a very solemn introduction to remind them that this is something that they need to pay attention to. And you are right, Pastor. We need the word of the Lord. You know, people often look for their life, oh, if there were just some, you know, great way to suddenly be like the image of Christ. Well, there is a way. It's through the word of God. And so we need to pay attention to the word of God and make sure we're allowing the Holy Spirit to work in our life so that we can be who we ought to be in Jesus Christ.
And it's comforting to know that even the word that stings me, it's the word of God. And ultimately God wants to reveal to me truth that will help my life. So you mentioned Malachi, his name is Messenger. It's interesting to me that Malachi highlights messengers in his book. So we'll see in chapter 2, he highlights Levi as a messenger of God. He highlights John the Baptist in chapter 3 as a messenger. And then he highlights the Lord Jesus himself, the Messiah, as the messenger of the covenant. But in all of that, what I see is that God wants to communicate to man.
You know, God, it just always amazes me. I think about this, that God reveals himself so we can know him. You know, God is infinite, so we can't understand him entirely, but we can know God truly. And God has delighted in revealing himself to us. He created man that he might have a relationship with us. And even when we went away, God made it possible by sending his son that we might be reconciled to God. And God is the self-revealing God.
And, you know, and not to get off the beaten track too much, but this is a good place to get off the beaten track. In you know, John's gospel, he introduced the Lord Jesus Christ as the Word. Jesus Christ is God's revelation to this world of himself. So Jesus is the living Word, the Bible is the written Word, but the point is the same. God wants us to know him, because in knowing him, we're going to see ourselves the way he sees us and be able to make the adjustments that he wants us to make. So my friends, I want you to hang on. I want you to stay tuned. We're going to dive right into this great Old Testament book of Malachi, and I hope that you'll enjoy the journey with us. God bless you, my friends.
Thanks for taking time to listen. If everyday truth matters to you, go ahead and subscribe to the podcast or share it with a friend. Until next time, God bless.